Yes, a podcast of the cinema.
Brought to you by Linoleum Knife. You're Alonzo Duralde.
Yes.
My name is Dave White.
Yes.
We're film critics.
Yes.
We have written for many places
and
continue to do so.
That is correct. And I have laryngitis.
Our current sponsor, we'll get to that in a second. Our current sponsor is no sponsor, except us. What?
The members.
Well, that's where I was headed.
Okay.
Would you like to do that with your laryngitis-y throat, or would you like me to do it?
I'll just jump right in.
Talk about us.
Linoleum Knife is sponsored by members of Linoleum Knife.
Yes.
The people who have gone to our Patreon page and joined at various levels, starting at a mere $4 a month.
$4 a month.
Which gets you LKTV, a podcast of the television.
Yes.
And the higher you go, the more stuff you get. Content and viewing opportunities and tangible objects.
Items.
And audio files.
Great items.
Yes.
Really? I mean, you know, hang on. One of them is a mug.
Yes.
I'm not currently using that particular mug.
You could have
mug.
Totally lied and said you were because this is an audio show and who would know the difference?
Well, someone would want the proof. You know what I need to do? I need to use one of the mugs.
Mm-hmm. For a Facebook Live?
IRL, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Make myself a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
In the thing. That's a really good idea because I think people would really enjoy watching me do a mundane domestic task.
You could have a tea, and I could have a coffee, and my niece could hold the phone.
No. We're talking about me being the star.
But you never...
You can have your own video.
You've never been
day.
The star, and you'll never be the star.
Some other day, you can have your own.
You are at best 49% of this program.
We will do.
Max.
I was just thinking about how much... Let's say that this is a half-assed podcast, okay? How much assed is LKTV?
Three quarters of half.
Okay. So for $4 a month, you get LKTV.
A 3/8 assed podcast.
And if you subscribe at more levels than that,
you get
items.
You get items like the mug, like shirts and tote bags.
I'm not going to say most. I'd say a good 60 to 70% of the people who have subscribed and asked for mugs have gotten their mugs.
Yay.
I have been packing them up one by one.
And several of you have been kind enough to post pictures on Facebook.
If you have your mug, we would like you to do that. We would like you to post your picture.
And tag Linoleum Knife Podcast.
So far, two people have taken photos of themselves drinking something from their mug. We don't know what was in the mug. One person, Chuck Listener, Chuck.
Used his mug as a burrito cozy.
A burrito cozy, and he squirted hot sauce all over it.
Yes.
Can we post that video?
I had him post it on our page.
On our page?
It's
okay,
on Linoleum Knife Podcast.
It's on there already. Okay.
And then Bibbs and Whitney, we gave them mugs, and they...
And they did it wrong.
They took several different pictures, so I don't know if you've seen all of them.
I've seen two of them where they're essentially... The mug is like 35 feet away from the camera.
Well, that's true. They didn't get close enough.
I mean...
They were mainly interested in showing
handsome,
off...
They're handsome gentlemen.
They wanted to show off Bibbs's wall of DVDs
I
behind them
care about
more
that.
Than the mugs.
That is not what I care about.
How
I care about
dare
the
they.
Mug. Put that mug up in front and center.
Labeled a camera.
They got free mugs out of the deal. Put the mug... The mug stays in the picture.
They also tweeted the mug, so they've been very nice about cross promoting us.
Fine, they've been fine.
And I assume they are talking about the mugs on the show, which I haven't listened to yet. But
Listen, Bibbs and Whitney, you better be talking about this mug. Mention us by name.
And when the day comes that you guys have, like, you know,
merch
canceled too soon, yeah, beer koozies or whatever,
integrated,
we'll totally take a picture with them.
Beard koozies?
Beer koozies. Those little things that people put their beer can in that sort of insulate them.
Is that called
in
a koozie?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
All right.
Like K-O-O-Z-I-E or something.
Anyway.
How would I make up koozie?
We scratched your mouths with the mug. You scratch us back somewhere.
Those mugs are not scratchy. They are glazed.
They're glazed. Yeah. Like Bibbs.
No. So, yes, Bibbs and Whitney came over to tape an episode of Canceled Too Soon.
Why they allowed you?
I
said this already on LKTV, but why they allowed you to participate is beyond me.
If you think I sound croaky today, I had about a fourth of this on Friday.
As I said on the show the other day, today you sound like Brenda Vaccaro. The other day you sounded like the disembodied voice from the attic in Black Christmas. It was like,
yeah,
like some black metal vocalist, like the vocalist, like I am the Black Wizards. That's what it sounded like. It was like,
sure,
that.
Well, I had important things to say about the Muppets, and that was more important than the the timbre of my voice.
You didn't have timbre. You had nothing.
Or lack thereof.
You had a little scritch, is what you had.
Anyway.
And now you've got me arguing with you about whatever. Which is not really an argument.
Trust me, you'll know.
So,
me and her get along just fine.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, subscribing. You should subscribe.
Yes.
Do you not do that yet? It's so great when you subscribe. You think this podcast is fantastic. And you do. The other one is almost as fantastic.
This week, we talked a lot about Lifetime Television.
We did. Wake Mommy.
Don't Wake Mommy. And I finally caught up with Unreal. And
Roots.
Roots. And, yeah.
The Bachelorette.
Dave has a lot of thoughts about
that. I have a lot of thoughts about that.
You can only get on LKTV.
It's a good podcast.
I think it's
my favorite podcast of television.
I think of the television podcast.
I mean,
that we do,
okay,
it's
wait. Sorry. After Canceled Too Soon, LKTV is my favorite podcast of television.
Actually, let's not even go down that hole because there's a lot of really good television podcasts.
Yeah. There's actually an entire Bachelor, Bachelorette podcast.
There's also
better than we'll ever be.
The Vulture TV podcast that our friend Matt Seitz is on.
Yes.
Which is, Matt Seitz is on it. So it's like straight up professional.
But he's really, really smart.
And he's too good for podcasts. Like, he should just have a segment on like Fresh Air or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like John Powers does, you know, and not fiddle around with this bastard medium that we have glommed onto.
So, yeah, that's my goal. My goal is use the linoleum knife mug to make a cup of tea, and I'll enjoy it. We'll get Pilar Duralde. Filmmaker Pilar Duralde, who is living in this home for the next 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she'll hold the camera.
Yeah, she'll probably
be the director.
And unlike you, I'm sure she'll hold it, you know, landscape instead of portrait.
She just peeked her head around the corner. I think that's a yes.
I don't know what you are asking.
You just agreed
to hold the camera while Dave drinks tea for a riveting Facebook Live segment.
Yes.
All right, see, it's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah. The co-ed, right?
The co-ed.
Yes.
She's a co-ed.
I announced earlier this summer that we should constantly refer to her as a co-ed.
She's down for it.
Good. Okay, great.
What's the movies?
Well,
there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Which neither of us saw.
Neither one of us have seen it,
nor will we ever.
Wait, I thought you were supposed to see it for What the Flick.
Oh,
maybe.
I might see it for What the Flick, I guess. Blah. If I have time this week, I have to see
I just don't. I'm not interested. I'm not doing it.
I have some real movies to see this week, so we'll see if I have time. But I guess I'll try and watch it for What the Flick.
I had, you know, I've had a little gear shift change in my life since. It is my 1 year, by the way, anniversary of quitting Movies.com.
Well, I know I speak for listeners everywhere when I ask, how's that book coming, Dave White?
Shh. You be quiet. You be very quiet. Because that's not what we're talking
about.
The people
have a right to know.
The people can wait until the author is finished. That is what the people can do. The people, in the meantime, can buy the audiobook of Exile in Guyville.
That's true.
If that's what they wanted.
If they didn't already get it as members.
Yeah. If they're not subscribers to Club Linoleum Knife.
Yes.
They can buy the audiobook of Exile in Guyville.
At exileinguyvillebook.tumblr.com.
And I will read it to them, that entire book. I'll read it to them. It's like 6 hours or something.
Anyway, so it's a year since you left your gig.
It's a year since I quit. Officially, exactly 1 year since I quit Movies.com. And in that time, my movie watching habits have changed a little bit. I've come to the point in my life where, I'm fixing to be 52 years old on Tuesday, June 7th.
It's
the
true.
The day after tomorrow, June 7th, I will be 52.
Thank
the
you.
Same day.
Thank you, all LK fans everywhere who sent you a present.
Oh, yeah. An anonymous source. But I think I know who it is.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why I think I know who it is. An anonymous source who calls themselves the Listeners of Linoleum Knife sent me a book that I've been wanting. And the reason this person knew that it was a book I've been wanting is because somehow, magically, this person found my Amazon wish list. Now, I barely maintain an Amazon wish list. I only ever started one because of you. You have a fairly extensive one. And occasionally when people want to know what you want for your birthday or for Christmas or whatever, I will say, I don't know. Just go to his wish list. He's got like a million comic...
And that's why I do it.
A million comic book anthologies there that he wants. And so, fine. I might have like 7 things on my Amazon wish list. Not very many.
I'll tell you,
all.
The main reason I maintain one is on those occasions that I get like an Amazon gift card.
Right. You'll know what you'll go
yes,
get.
Yes, rather than be like, and then I at least have a running tally of things that I know at some point I really want.
Some things you wanted. Okay. Well, I never have really bothered to have a big, extensive Amazon wish list. Furthermore, my name is not Alonzo Duralde.
It is not.
My name is hard to look up. On Amazon. I don't know how the person found my Amazon wish list. Because there's a million Dave Whites.
No, you've been giving your email address out like water, so you know.
Is that how they do it?
Yes.
Oh. Well, the mystery solved on that.
God.
The
You're such a little lamb.
I didn't know how that happened. No one I never noticed that before. This is how little I go to Amazon wishlist territory.
Mm.
All right. Anyway, there's a book about, a sort of coffee table book about the bands Hellhammer and Celtic Frost. Hellhammer became Celtic Frost in the 80s. The book is called Only Death is Real, and it's a fantastic, it's big, heavy, glossy book about the history of the bands Hellhammer and Celtic Frost.
And who wouldn't want that on their coffee table?
Me, I would. And yes. I do, and I'm happy to say that I now have it. And I just was sort of like, yeah, I want this book because I want this book. And I know that I'm going to have to go buy it for myself eventually. But for now, I'll just put it on my Amazon wish list. And boom, it showed up in the mail. thank you, anonymous person. Here's how I think I know who it is. This time, for the very first time, along with this anonymous gift, because this anonymous gift giver has given this anonymous, has given us...
Has struck before.
Has given us anonymous gifts before, and we never quite knew who it was. although we had our suspicions. This time, a little note came with it that said, you may send an e-thank you card. And I did, but there was no information as to who I was sending it to.
I see.
But when the template pops up for you to write your own message,
it puts a person's name in it.
It puts a person's name in it.
Aha.
And I don't know if that's the name that showed up is the name of the person I thought was doing it.
Right.
But just the first name.
Sure.
So I don't know if it's a coincidence, like it's a wild coincidence that that the name that showed up is the name of the person I suspected of doing it. I don't know.
And anyway,
but I'm going to say
you
that I think I know who you are.
We know who you are, we think.
And, thank you. And thank you. Thank you. You're really generous, and it's very overwhelming to me.
It's very sweet. But
yeah.
Don't, folks, really, just go join our club. That's all we need.
Well, that's the other thing. If this is the person I think it is, this person is already joined at the highest level, like beyond the highest level.
I know.
Because here's what I didn't know about Patreon. Let's say your highest level, like us, is $20 a month, which I think is outlandish, frankly. That's a crazy ton of money. And I'm thrilled that there are people who've done it. The person I think it is, Patreon doesn't limit you.
Oh, no.
Like, if you want to do more than $20 a month, Patreon lets you.
I know.
And this person does more than $20 a month. And it's... All I'm saying is, when we show up on your door, I have a feeling that you've got a guest room for us.
Not that we would do this, but you're very kind
person who knows who they are.
Yes.
Yeah. So
anyway, so neither of us saw the Ninja Turtles.
My viewing habits have changed.
Yes.
Let's go back to the original.
Oh right. Yes. Sorry.
Thing that I was saying before you derailed me with book shaming.
You mentioned your birthday, and I wanted to make sure that we gave thanks where they were due.
My birthday is the same day as Prince.
Yes.
So anybody who thinks they have a cool celebrity
and
birthday,
you are not funky.
I kind of am. I am definitely one of the beautiful ones. I know that.
You're a hole in the head.
I'm actually just I'm a mountain. that's what I am. I turned 52 on Tuesday. I'm very happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very happy to have spent 1 year not employed by movies.com.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think now the truth can be told. They drove me crazy. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm still there, sort of a little.
They drove me crazy.
Don't go and I think the other question our listeners might have is, what happened to all those reviews you were going to write for linoleum-knife.com, Dave?
I'm sorry.
It's been a year. You haven't written it.
Why are you up my butt right now?
I'm speaking for the audience. I know they're thinking it, and I didn't want to let the moment pass.
You know what I'm doing? Putting mugs in boxes and sending them out and going to the post office. That's what I'm doing.
I am aware of that. I know all those things.
So you and all the questioning listeners just have a lot of seats.
It's true. You are a very hardworking one-man shipping
you
department
hear me?
For this operation.
Everybody just calm down. I will now continue my story.
Go on.
My film-going habits have changed. If a wide-release film feels pointless to me, then I'm not going to go. And I don't mean like the next Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor. I promise you, I will always go see that kind of stuff. All right? But you don't need me to tell you that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is a technically assured, competently produced children's film that I have no interest in at all. I was already in college for the first wave of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I am not in my early 30s, Which honestly is the demographic.
Oh yeah, no, Bibbs will give you chapter movie. And verse on this thing.
Yeah,
I remember seeing the very first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, like the pilot of that show, while on the vacation I took after my college graduation.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I was definitely, I knew the comic book because when you were reading comics in the 80s, it was such a publishing phenom that almost single-handedly destroyed independent comics forever by leading to a bunch of copycat, one-joke, black-and-white comic books that all tanked. But yeah, so I this is definitely not part of my, even my adolescence. Like, I was too old for this stuff. I think I did have the Coming Out of Our Shells cassette from Pizza Hut, though, for some unknown reason. And I did see the first movie with the weird Henson-y turtles in it.
Yeah.
And then that was it until I had to go review the first of these turtle movies. And I would have gone to this one, but it was on a night that we were doing an Outfest event that I had to be at. So I sent another reviewer. And so, yeah, I guess if I see it for what the flick, I see it for what the flick. But beyond that, there's no good reason for me to see it.
I have nothing
to bring to that table.
I decided to ignore that. I have also decided to ignore Me Before You. And I will also be ignoring Warcraft.
Oh,
there's not.
Oh, I kind of want you to see Warcraft.
Why?
Because it's such a fiasco.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, maybe for the sake of the discussion, maybe I'll head out to Warcraft.
Please, it's the movie that turned Twitter on me.
Well, you know what? That entertains me. When Twitter turns on you, it entertains me. So, I don't know. You can spend the rest of the week trying to convince me to see Warcraft with a variety of convincing techniques.
On the off chance that somebody asks you for a worst list this year,
that's not going
to
happen.
You will need to have seen Warcraft.
All right, talk about Me Before You.
Oh, sure. Okay. So this was apparently a hit novel. I don't know if it was a hit in the U.S. or just in Britain or everywhere, but it's what's her face from Game of Thrones? Emilia Clarke stars as this just hyper adorable girl who we know is clever and creative and pixie-ish because she's constantly wearing these like ridiculously sort of childish combinations of colors and patterns.
They show her shoes in the trailer.
Yeah.
And they look like really nice, sort of exuberantly designed shoes.
Well, we're supposed to like think of her as sort of, you know, childishly wacky, but also we learn over the course of the film that she has an interest in fashion.
Okay.
Heaven help us all. so she lives in England and is the main source of income for her working class family because her father, who is Mr. Bates, has been, you know, out of a job for a while. And she gets fired from her job at a tea house. And so she winds up taking a gig, taking care of a rich, handsome, quadriplegic guy named Will Traynor.
How did he become that way?
Well, he was sort of devil-may-care and rakish and did things like windsurfed and jumped off cliffs and whatnot. But, irony of ironies, became paralyzed after being hit by a motorcycle while crossing the street in London.
Okay.
So anyway, so he is sad, and he has apparently attempted suicide at one point, and has given his told his parents that he would wait for a certain amount of time before possibly considering ending his life again.
Wait, how old is he?
Like late 20s, 30-ish.
And why does he have a terminal illness?
Not necessarily, but the...
What do you mean, not necessarily? Well, you either do or you don't.
Okay, he doesn't have a terminal illness, but the impression that the film delivers is that his body is sort of slowly shutting down or becoming less impervious to, you know, illness and that kind of thing.
So he is going to die?
Not immediately, but...
But he doesn't have anything.
He's not getting any better. And I think there's a sense that
they're not specific.
They don't come out and say like, you know, he has cancer or something. But they talk about how, like, he gets pneumonia a lot and how his, like, immune system is becoming more and more fragile and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, during this window in which, you know, he's going to keep living, I guess the idea is that she's going to be, like, the sort of rah-rah for life gal for him. He's got an actual nurse who does the heavy lifting and the ookie stuff, so she's really just there to cheer him up. And of course, at first he just finds her grating, but eventually he grows on her and they watch a movie together and da da, and she starts getting him out of the house, and they go to a concert, and they go to his the wedding of his former girlfriend and former best friend, and you know, it's junk. It's Sam Claflin plays Will Traynor, and I only remember that his name is Will Traynor because he is referred to as Will Traynor at various times in the film, like first and last name. It's really annoying. They have zero.
That's what people say to me all the time.
That's true.
They call me Dave White.
They have everywhere I go. Well, it's because everybody knows.
Call me Dave White. You say here. We'll be in the house. And I'll be in the other room, and you'll be out here or something, and then you'll be like, Dave White! So it's not like...
I know a lot of Daves.
Yeah.
Even if none of them are home, I still say Dave White. Anyway, Sam Claflin and Emilia Clarke have zero chemistry.
But they're both British.
She has more...
They've got so much in common.
She has more genuine chemistry with the guy who plays the nurse. I just did not care at all. Like, the one thing I will give this movie points for is that it treats end-of-life issues with some seriousness and doesn't immediately run screaming away from the conversation. Right. It's not like in, say, Juno, where she thinks about having an abortion for about 12 seconds and then immediately runs away from it and like, oh, let's not talk about that again. Which is rare for a studio movie. But, you know, I should not be leaving a tearjerker romance humming the, you know, end of life issues treatment. So, it's skippable. Though it looks like a TV commercial, like everything's very sort of gauzy and autumnal, and the music is very TV ad as well. And it's barfy.
I just want you to remember that you are going to need to have an exact illness and many doctor's notes about all of the deteriorations that are happening to you in order for me to fulfill your wishes of murder.
All right.
For new listeners, I have been lovingly partnered to Alonzo Duralde for going on 21 years. And in that time, he has requested that when he is old and losing his faculties, and very specifically begins losing his ability to reason or be thoughtful or
remember
things, that he wants me, the words were, murder me. That's the quote. The quote in the car that day was, murder me. Now, I'm a fan of murder, and I think that if, for example, The Purge were a real thing, I would comfortably say, all right, love of my life, it's Purge night. I cannot murder you, but I can let you walk out the door of our barricaded fortress. If you don't come home, no. I'll know.
But you know what?
That you were purged.
On purge night, no one is going to give me an overdose of morphine.
No, they're going to set you on fire.
Yeah, I don't want to die painfully.
Oh, all right.
I want the Frank, the Grace, and Frankie.
I just don't know how to have this happen.
I want the Grace and Frankie pudding.
What is that?
At the end of season two, they give the pudding to Estelle Parsons because her cancer has returned and there's no point in trying to treat it.
What's in the pudding?
They never say.
What kind of pudding is it?
I don't know. But there's also a pudding in the New Age. So there's something about crushing up morphine
into death pudding.
Into death pudding. I'm sure you could look up recipes. And I know you like that. You'd be like, well, Martha has a death pudding.
I do love to cook for you.
But Gwyneth Chef has a vegan death pudding that I think you might like. Like, are you actually Googling death pudding?
What comes up is the 7 stupidest ways to accidentally kill yourself. I just don't know about this. I mean, it would give me a chance to make you a delicious pudding.
Yes.
Like a custard, like a trifle. What if it were a trifle with like a really delicious kind of custard and some cake and some berries?
Dulce de leche?
No.
Okay.
No. A trifle would be fine. That's got a lot of sugar.
Who cares?
I need this to have a reasonable glycemic index.
It's going to be the last thing I ever eat.
No, your bowl bowl is all that's going to have the death in it. The rest I'm going to eat, and it's all going to be for me.
I want my own death pudding. You can make yourself a non-death trifle all you want.
True. When you go, there'll be a lot of people coming over to the house with food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jeffrey will bring that amazing tater tot casserole.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay.
It's a win-win.
I'll try to figure out something.
Okay, thank you. You saw Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping.
So did you.
I know, but you saw it today.
You
were way more into it than I was.
Okay, so have you seen the Justin Bieber documentaries?
Yes.
Both of them?
I think just the first one.
All right. And you saw the Katy Perry one with me.
Yes.
And you don't have to have seen those three films, in order to really enjoy Pop Star Never Stop Never Stopping. But it would help, because they lift entire segments of those films
in the way that
if
you've seen The Last Waltz, you get Spinal Tap more.
Right. So this one is about Andy Samberg and the Lonely Island guys. Akiva Schaffer, Jorma Taccone. And they are they're a Beastie Boys-esque group called the Style Boys. And they are very successful. Their big hit is the Donkey Leg.
No, the Donkey Roll.
Sorry, the Donkey Roll. The Donkey Roll. And it's a dance sensation. Everybody loves the Donkey Roll. And then they break up because Andy Samberg gets the opportunity to go... Connor for real. He gets the opportunity to go solo.
After doing a catchphrase verse on another pop diva song.
And he does go solo. And it breaks up the band, and, you know, acrimoniously. And one of them becomes his DJ, but he's dissatisfied because he doesn't have anything to do. He just stands behind the decks. Wearing a giant light-up Daft Punk-ish helmet. And then a variety of ridiculous things happen. And it is a parody of the recent mini-wave of current pop star...
Backstage documentaries.
Hagiographic documentaries where the people on screen are never scrutinized in any real way. They are simply adored. We've seen those three. We've seen the Celine Dion one, which honestly is the best one. Mm. The Celine Dion and one Justin Bieber is have the best one.
Celine and Bieber have the same throat specialist in Manhattan.
Yeah. And so...
And we know this because in both movies, they almost lose their voice before the big Madison Square Garden show.
Yeah.
And they have to see the same guy, and we see the same camera go down both their throats.
That's where you should be at that doctor's
apparently
office
so,
right
yes.
now. So the thing about this movie is that it is, first of all, it's nonstop funny all the way through. When I wasn't laughing, I was just grinning because every scenario that takes place, each little discrete episodic moment, is really, really funny. Also, it has a little bit on its mind. I mean, it is about the goofiness of being addicted to fame. But it doesn't really have anything to say. It just wants to make you laugh. And it did. Nonstop. It's along with Neighbors 2 and whatever. What other comedies have come out this year that were really funny so far? I've laughed more. I laughed more at this and Neighbors 2 than I've laughed at anything all year.
Okay. Well, I did laugh throughout this movie. And I think the Lonely Island songs obviously are brilliant. And they're the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
You mentioned the discrete episodic nature of the film.
Yeah.
That's where it lost me.
Okay.
Because it's funny. Like, it's one of those movies where I went back and watched the trailer after seeing the movie because I had to post it with the review. And as often is the case with these sort of, Judd Apatow was a producer, with a lot of these movies where there's a lot of improv and making it up along the way, there's stuff in the trailer that doesn't wind up in the movie. And it occurred to me that that's not in and of itself a bad thing, but it's indicative of this kind of comedy filmmaking where you basically just go in and you make stuff up on the fly and then you figure out in the editing room what to hang on to. It's not like this is a structured comedy in any way. You could pull out any piece and the Jenga pyramid doesn't fall down. And as such, while it's funny throughout and I laughed at a lot of things in it, the laughs didn't build. It's not like a movie like, say, What's Up, Doc, where they're setting up all this stuff in the first few minutes that then pay off and pay off and pay off over the course of the film. It's just like these discrete moments, which like sketches, essentially,
yeah,
that are funny and funny and funny and funny, but they don't really amount to an actual comedy movie.
You are right about that. Once it makes its point that celebrity is a stupid thing to pursue and that people who pursue it relentlessly need to, you know, sort of recalibrate their sense of...
And Andy Sandberg and Joanna Newsom are here to tell you about why fame is dumb.
Yeah. It is a light film. There's not much weight to it.
Yeah.
Except for the songs. The songs are cutting and sharp in ways that the rest of the film is not. But you would have to listen to the songs a few times to get all the lyrics.
Yeah.
Although you can make out most of them.
I mean, I gave this movie a fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. I enjoyed myself, but it just felt like a trifle.
especially
compared to Hot Rod.
I love Hot Rod. So
I love Hot Rod, which is the previous Lonely Island movie. And that's a movie that has all the sort of same bizarro, absurdist non sequiturs that this movie has.
Yeah.
But actually does wind up telling you a story and creating characters, even if they're ridiculous characters. And so this one just felt to me super scattershot. Like when Joan Cusack pops up and has nothing to do and then is never heard from again.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, there's like an hour of her on a hard drive somewhere that we're just not seeing.
Yeah.
You know, and it just that kind of sloppiness amounts to a movie where I think in a movie like What's Up, Doc, in the first 5 minutes you laugh in kind of an anticipatory way and then the laughs get bigger and bigger as it goes on. And for me, this entire movie was like 86 minutes of the first 5 minutes of a comedy. That said, it will be a perfect movie to watch when you're a little bit stoned and it's on like Apple TV.
I agree with you, and yet I liked it so much more than you.
Okay.
I had such a good time while in the same breath, I knew that I was watching something lightweight and fluffy.
Yeah.
Its satire is really, it's only deep in the songs. The rest of it is just, you know, just goofing.
Yeah.
But it's such funny goofing that I really do think people should see it. And it's completely tanking.
Yes.
Like no one's going to see it.
It's doing MacGruber numbers. Yeah. And I liked MacGruber a lot more than this actually.
MacGruber is great too. And this one is no one is seeing. It's the best reviewed wide release of the week, and no one is going to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't know what to
tell you. I think it will probably play better on TV because it really feels like
its target audience is just kind of
waiting for it to be
it's streaming somewhere. Yeah.
It's a very long SNL digital short, essentially. And I kind of wish that the season finale of SNL did not include one of the songs from the movie, which would have been funnier had I not heard it before seeing it.
Oh, really? What did they sing on?
The Bin Laden song.
How did they sing that on SNL?
They made it. It was a digital short.
And they just bleeped and bleeped and bleeped and bleeped. I see. Got it.
Because
the Bin Laden song is...
Yes. Yes.
It's rated R.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, and the stuff that they do that made fun of TMZ was funny, but I had just seen Amy Schumer do the exact same thing.
The TMZ stuff is, I think, maybe my favorite stuff in the entire film. Because you've got...
It's Will Arnett and Eric Andre, right?
Will Arnett, Eric Andre, and Chelsea Peretti.
And Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah. And together, Eric Andre and Chelsea Peretti... Well, when Eric Andre walks into any scene in anything, anywhere, I think something is about to be destroyed. Like a literal thing is literally going to be destroyed. So that actually surprised me that nothing blew up or collapsed or...
You're used to a show.
Or a human being was thrown through a wall, nothing.
Nobody ran through on fire.
Yeah. That's what I expect from Eric Andre. And what we got in those TMZ scenes were something very much in the neighborhood of a Tim and Eric sketch where everything got dark and weird and the props got weirder and crazier.
Yeah.
And yeah. If you don't know who Chelsea Peretti is yet, you need to know who Chelsea Peretti is because she's really, really great. And she's the girl on Kroll's show who had the makeover show who would...
Oh, look like this.
You look like this. You look stupid. She's wonderful.
We also saw Wiener. Let's get that joke out of the way.
You're the only one making jokes.
We saw the documentary.
Not me. I'm a grown-up person.
Good bully for you. We saw the documentary Wiener about disgraced New York Congressman Anthony Wiener and his attempts to become mayor of New York. Only to have old habits die hard. One of the best political documentaries I think I've ever seen. Just in terms of lately, I think a lot of movies have been, a lot of documentaries have gotten made by people who had access to somebody famous. And the people who had that access were so grateful to have that access that they weren't going to do anything that would jeopardize that access. So you get these very kind of semi-fawning, like, well, that's nice, but you're not really telling me anything documentaries. And this one, I mean, it was at the end of the movie, you know, when Wiener is like dejectedly watching the returns come in on TV and he has lost the New York mayoral primary, you hear the director's voice off camera say, "Why are you letting me film this?"
Right.
And yeah, just, it's amazing the stuff that they've captured. It's such a fascinating character study, and not just of Wiener, but his wife, Huma Abedin, who is this, like, Hillary Clinton's, like, number two or number three, you know, like, conciliary. And, you know, she's got her own political ambitions, and she's got her own Bill Clinton, apparently.
Yeah,
you know,
she does.
This guy is as
Pilar, she really needs to get rid of him.
As Pilar and her mother were telling us after they had just listened to an audiobook about the psychology of Bill Clinton.
Yeah,
that Congressman Wiener is hypomanic.
And I don't mean she should get rid of him because of what he did.
Uh-huh.
She should get rid of him because he's dead weight to her career. Yeah. Let's just be real clear.
Well,
about it.
I don't know that she has any desire to be a politician herself. I mean, the impression I got from the movie is she is not somebody who craves the spotlight. I think she likes to be the smoke-filled room power broker.
Great.
In the background. And she
she
can still be that, and she is being that. She's like the number
even three. With him.
She is the number three, I think, right now on the Clinton campaign.
All right.
So yeah, that's he's actually having a somewhat of a resurgence as like a pundit. So, you know,
right. I here's, It's a really well-made documentary. It's a bummer, really, to watch because
he could have been this extraordinary politician.
When you go back and pre-scandal, look at the way he fought like a rabid animal against every horrible, dickish Republican. And by what I mean is Republicans. I'm being redundant. The way he just scrapped with them just made me proud, you know. I am personally not the kind of person who gets into those kinds of scraps about politics.
You are thankful for the people who do it for you.
I am thankful for the people who do it for me, yeah. I'm to the left of Bernie. But I won't get on, you know, Facebook or Twitter and start fighting with people about it. I rarely post about that kind of stuff because it exhausts me, frankly. But I'm glad that guys like that exist. And I wanted him to keep it together so that he could keep fighting like that. Having said that, I do not give one damn about what he did with his penis. I honestly don't.
And he did less
than... And I had we had a very sort of disagreeing conversation. Not you and I, but...
my sister-in-law.
Yeah, Susan. I'm blanking. Because she, you know, she disagreed with me.
He did less with his penis than Bill Clinton ever did.
That's right. He basically...
He kept it virtual.
He sexted.
He sexted and he phone sexted.
Which is the same thing.
Whatever.
And honestly, no matter what kind of politician you are, I don't even care if you're the Republican kind. I don't even care if you're the Republican kind who is legislating against other people's sexuality. And you wind up doing something, you know, wild and you get caught for it. I don't care because...
What if you do something gay and you're legislating anti-gay stuff?
I don't care about that either, and here's why. You being anti-gay is disgusting enough.
You don't have to do anything
else. I shouldn't have to catch you in the act of, you know, cruising guys in a toilet in an airport when you're married for 40 years with grandchildren. I shouldn't have to catch you at that to hate you. I already hate you because you're against me and my ability to live. So you can go F yourself even if you don't go, you know, cruising the airport toilets. And that is why, no matter what you do with your penis, it doesn't matter to me politically. I don't care who you cheated on. I don't care what you did. If your politics are good, you can still be a politician for me. You haven't done anything to me.
As long as it was consensual.
Haven't done it. Yeah, of course.
I just wanted to be clear.
It must be consensual. It must be with a legal adult.
Yes.
Yes. But otherwise, not important. Zero amounts of my brain time are occupied by the penises of politicians. None. So, what this film just solidified for me was that I do not care and that I'm angry that this guy couldn't see that the internet was going to wreck him.
Yeah.
And that's the problem of people who haven't grown up with the internet.
Oh, that's true.
They still don't get that.
That's a generational divide.
That if you're going to be out in the world making policy and making laws and taking a powerful leadership role, that I'm very sorry, but you gotta either not care that people are talking about your penis, or you got to not do things with your penis on the internet. You know, frankly, I just think the internet should be full of all the genitals. Everywhere. It should be everywhere. Let's just strip the shaming and the slutty anger and the, well, not slutty anger, but anger at sluts.
Yes.
Because sluts are wonderful people and should be politicians and should make laws. I'm ready for some pro-slutty laws.
I think anybody who wants to be a politician kind of automatically has the kind of personality that demands a lot of adulation.
I guess.
So I suspect that this is the sort of thing that just sort of automatically goes hand in glove, as it were.
Right.
Anyway, Wiener's fascinating. You should listen.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
And then you saw Chevalier.
Yeah.
Is it about horses or about Maurice?
It's not about any of those things.
If the nightingale could sing like you.
Yeah. Can you pause again for a minute? I'm very sorry. Chevalier is a Greek film.
Okay.
By Athena Rachel Sangari. And she made Attenberg a few years ago.
Did not see that.
Yeah.
Did you?
No, I haven't, but I'm going to now.
Yeah.
She is part of, apparently, she's part of a little, you know, group. This film, well, first of all, she directed Attenberg, which featured the one and only time acting of director Yorgos Lanthimos.
Oh.
Who made
The Lobster.
The Lobster. This film, Chevalier, was written by Athena Rachel Sangari and by Eftimis Filippo, who wrote The Lobster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She herself co-produced Alps.
Mm.
And Dogtooth, I think.
Okay.
She also is down with Richard Linklater.
Because she went to UT Film
School. had a small role in Slacker 25 years ago.
Do you know as who?
I don't know. Worked in on the tech crew on Dazed and Confused.
Mm.
So she's connected. There's all these connections.
She's in several mafias.
To these other folks, yeah. This movie, oh, how I love this film. It is about a group of well-to-do men, but six guys, ranging in ages from 30 to 50-ish, and they're on a yacht off the coast of Greece in the Aegean Sea.
They're on a boat.
Yeah, they're on a boat. A nice one. Mm. A very nice boat. And they're just out there for a few days. They're spear fishing and diving and chilling out, you know, having meals together, relaxing, reading books. You know, they're civilized guys.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a friendship, but it's that kind of friendship where you know that any cutting comment could sort of disrupt everything.
Mm.
So over the course of a meal, they're talking about, you know, various comparisons between them. Like, who is more this and who is less that? And one of them proposes a contest. And the contest is, who is the best in general?
It's like something you would think of. Which of us is the best?
Who is the best in general is the contest. So for the next 2 days, they've all got their little notebooks, and they are all taking notes on each other. On everything.
The dodeca pentathlon.
So I'll refer to the poster, which is brilliantly and hilariously designed because it's a ship's steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But the handles are penises.
Oh.
And here, and although none of these things are actually happen in the movie, here's what the poster says. Minus 8 points, cheap aftershave. Plus 5 points, napping. Minus 32 points, over blinking. Plus 2 points, Ennio Morricone ringtone. Minus 35 points, ponytail. Plus 20 points, hairy chest. So it's a manliness contest that they're having. Like, who's the best at the being a man?
Right.
So they judge each other over everything from one of them is a doctor, so they all give their blood, and he tests their cholesterol.
Oh, God.
Their blood sugar.
On a yacht.
Yeah. Who has the best cholesterol? Who can do chores fastest? Like, one of them has polishing the silver, and he finishes first, and he's like, I win. And they all come over to inspect the silver, and one of them says, that spoon is not perfect. And of course, naturally, it devolves into who has the biggest one, and who can get it hard the best. But they're all, you know, taking their notes. Oh, wait, my laptop, my battery's about to die. Hang on, I'm going to plug it in here.
So this doesn't, like, become, this doesn't turn into murder or anything like that?
No. Because if you have seen The Lobster, or Dogtooth, or Alps, you will understand that...
Oh, it's one of those movies. Okay.
That Athena Rachel Zangari... There is no inciting incident,
right,
or climactic incident.
Gotcha.
There is just a series of incidents where no one yells and no one fights.
Gotcha.
But they give each other looks and they say things. And the insecurities and the little crushes sort of unravel and start to show. And while it is a film about men and the silliness of the way men behave, because let's be real.
Men are ridiculous.
Men do this. Men do this all the time. Women...
Spoken or unspoken.
Women are on record as having... this sort of group dynamic.
Yeah.
Everybody loves when you see women being catty with each other and tearing each other apart, like on a reality show or whatever.
Yeah, the women.
But men do it too.
Oh, yeah.
And yet they do it in ways that keep themselves protected from scrutiny. And so... to watch men start to get catty with each other and to start and to watch men feel insecure enough that they, at one point, one of them is standing in front of a mirror privately and saying, my thighs are not fat. My thighs are not fat. My cholesterol is low. It's very funny. And even though it's a woman directing it, she has compassion for these guys. She's not just skewering them to show you how idiotic men are. She's sort of showing you that men are like everybody else.
Sure.
But I think there's something more here. No, the movie doesn't hammer it home. The fact that these guys are moneyed in a country that has had worldwide attention drawn to it for its
economic devastation.
Epically disastrous financial situation.
Right.
Where no one has a job anymore and people are desperate. And these guys are not only haves, but they're real haves. Like, they're on a yacht. They are so disconnected from the country that they live in that they are literally floating off to the side of it.
Right.
And in that little dish, in that little bubble, they're picking each other apart. Mm. Like, who among us, who among the elite...
will be the king of the...
will be the king of the elite, yeah. Right. And so there's no way that it's not about that.
Is she also implying that feminism liberates us all?
Just a given.
Yes,
life.
I know, but I'm saying is that an undercurrent of the film?
Not spoken.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's really good. It is not. How do I say this? It doesn't have the same formal qualities of, say, one of the films by Yorgos Lanthimos.
Mm-hmm.
It's shot in a way that is a little flatter, a little less, a little less, you'd be a little less able to say, this is what she's about. Like, she does this, and she... I've only seen this film. I haven't seen her other film.
Right.
But if the other film is like this, she's not showing her hand stylistically.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. But boy, it's great. Okay. I think it's really cool.
Well, Strand is releasing this one.
Strand is releasing it in Los Angeles.
It may make its way around to you.
Yeah. In Los Angeles, currently, it is playing at the New Art only, because that's how they roll at the New Art. When they have a film, they're the only theater in town that has it. So go. Do go to see it if you live here in the city.
I suspect that it may not get a second week. So, yeah, if you're in Los Angeles, you
might... No, it will not have a second week because their calendar is fixed.
No, but you know what? If a film does really well, the New Art, it might then jump over to the Landmark or something. But
it might. This might go to a Lemley or another Landmark.
How crowded was it when you went?
Well, I saw it at the noon show. There were about 30 people.
All right. I mean, it might get a second week somewhere.
Five of them walked out.
But because it's...
Which kind of blows my mind.
It's a smaller foreign film with no names attached.
No names.
So it might not do the business that would get it a second week at another theater. Yeah. So if you want to see it, get to it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm always surprised when there's a walkout in a film like this. Like, you chose to come see it. Like, you didn't stumble into the New Art. It's a one-screen theater.
Right, right. You came here knowing it was probably going to be difficult.
But not even difficult.
You know what I mean.
It's just, you know.
Difficult as in, like, difficult listening hour. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Challenging.
I don't understand it. I really do want to conduct a sort of, like, study.
Excuse me,
outside
sir.
Of art houses. Would you like to tell me why you've left this film?
Why did you come in?
Yeah,
you
were gonna why'd you bother spending the $10 if you're going to just leave?
What's your DVD pick?
Well, you know, today at Popstar, Never Stopping, they showed the trailer for The Purge Election Year.
Oh, right, yes.
The extended trailer, longer than the little teaser one that we've been shown.
Well, David Zee said that when he went to see Popstar, he got 3 Red Band trailers.
Yeah. There was a Red Band trailer for Sausage Party.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Red Band trailer for something Need Wedding Dates, whatever
that's
called.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
And the Red Band trailer actually shows you how dirty and raunchy and actually maybe funny it might be.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm no longer disinterested.
Okay.
So good for them for putting that one out there. But they showed the trailer for Purge Election Year. And pal and neighbor Gary Cotti was with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've never seen the other two Purge movies. And I said, I will watch them with you. I will catch you up.
Does he need to see the first one? The first one barely addresses the Purge. It's a home invasion movie.
You shut up. I will not have the Purge maligned in my home.
The first Purge is stupid.
Listen, y'all never seen these Purge movies? You need to watch these Purge movies because they are good.
I want to see
some
the
of
second
the finest,
one.
Some of the finest wide-release exploitation cinema that has come along in the United States in years. The Purge movies. The Purge and The Purge, whatever the next one's called, Still purging.
Purge 2.
I don't know. Purge 2 something.
Kristallnacht something. Yeah.
They're great. And those are my DVD release picks of the week.
All right, fine.
Because I'm fixing to watch them again with Gary Cotti.
Oi.
Because he said, take me to see Purge Election Year. And I said, I will. And it's a promise.
My DVD pick is Hot Rod. All right. Because it's hilarious. And it is proof that the Lonely Island can make a better movie than Popstar is. And sadly, it also tanked. Like, nobody went and saw that movie. Although, apparently, it has something of a grudging cult following now. But, boy, the reviews at the time were deadly. But that was the first review that I ever wrote for MSNBC.com. And I liked that movie.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Remember we had to drive to Norwalk to see it?
We did. Why they had the all media in Norwalk. I
don't think it was the all media. I think I'd missed all the other screenings. It was just some radio thing.
What do you have in your mouth?
Lozenges. I'm trying lozenge. To not lose my voice.
All right.
Read some letters.
I'm gonna read you some letters right now. Here we go with letters. Linoleum Podcast. Those are my keywords. I'm pulling them up. Searching, 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 searching. It's stalled. Maybe you should pause.
Oh, God.
While we wait. No, don't sing. Just pause. Just do it.
All right, all right.
This is from the man known as Uncle Rusty.
Oh, well.
Hi, boys. Had to fast forward through your review of High Rise just now because I am seeing it this weekend. So excuse me if you talked much about the director. The wild and wacky Ben Wheatley. Dave, I know you share my love of the weird and disgusting, so you should definitely check out his early film, Kill List. Yeah, I know, I still haven't seen it. It is completely bent. It will set the context for what I hope is a more positive experience than Alonzo. It will set the context for what I hope is a more positive experience than Alonzo had. So, yeah, that's on my list of... It's on my watch. Kill List is on my watch list.
I didn't see Kill List, which is the one that I saw. It was so dumb.
This is from Lady Knight the Brave.
Yo-ho.
Who we've heard from before.
We have indeed, yes.
I was just wondering, do you ever see a movie trailer and wonder how and why? Oh, yeah. Like, who thought this was a good idea, and how could it possibly work? I saw the trailer for the Ben-Hur remake the other day. So, as we're walking into the Burbank Town Center 6 this morning, there's a huge cardboard setup for Ben-Hur.
The Town Center 6 is the one off the parking lot, right?
Yeah, the AMC 8 is inside the mall on the third level next to the
Dairy Queen.
Next to the Dairy Queen. And across from the Cinnabon and right. The Tamale House. The Town Center 6 is across the parking lot, and it really is the most ingeniously, strangely designed.
It's all underground, right?
Theater. It is entirely underground. You go in the doors, and you take an escalator, a big one,
like down.
Like you're in the London subway, and you're going all the way down. You take this escalator down, 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 and then you are underground. And then it's like this weird little, you know, hallway of stuff. But anyway, the Ben-Hur thing is up, and we walked past it. I don't think Gary Cotti knew that it was coming out. He's like, this? We're doing this? And I said, Ben-Hur.
That's an old Frank DeCaro joke.
Is it?
There was that documentary about bears that was set entirely at IBR in San Francisco, and it was about like the pageant or the Mr. IBR thing they do every year.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, anyway, so there's this one guy who enters it, and he's not your typical bear in that he's like fit and muscly and stuff, and there's this one like sort of toga party event where all the contestants are at, and rather wear a toga, he of course is wearing like a breastplate and a, you know, a centurion helmet and stuff. And Frank DeCaro was sitting next to me at the screening, and he goes, he's dressed as Get Her.
That's funny. Anyway, as a quick aside, I saw that movie for the first time knowing only that it was an important movie and that it had Romans or something. I did not know that it was a Jesus movie.
A Tale of the Christ, I believe, is the subtitle.
And accidentally watched it sitting next to my hella Christian sister. My family and I are quite Jewish, except this sister. It was a deeply uncomfortable viewing. But anyway, the new Ben-Hur trailer, I was watching it and looking at all those dumb POV CG shots and all the excessive action, plus there's all the Jesus stuff, and I was so perplexed, wondering how this movie is going to balance all its dumb action with its actual religious message. I didn't even enjoy the original Ben-Hur so much, but I can respect any movie that does what it sets out to do. Have y'all caught the trailer and wondered how or why, or please somebody stop them? Have you thought this at other movie trailers recently? I'm terrified somebody is going to try to remake Lawrence of Arabia or Schindler's List next.
I periodically watch trailers, and I just get the immediate sinking feeling of, oh, I'm going to have to see this. That.
Yeah.
Incidentally, the new Ben-Hur will be the third one.
Uh-huh.
The original Ben-Hur was a silent film.
Yep.
By King Vidor, I believe, and starring one Francis X. Bushman. So the Charlton Heston one was itself already a remake. Mm. But yeah, I don't know that we needed another remake, especially not one from Timur Babetnikov or whatever. But yeah, movie trailers are a constant. To me, they're like, you know, when people who tell fortunes by throwing entrails.
Yeah.
A lot of trailers are just thrown entrails. Like, yeah, that's my destiny in 6 months.
And as another quick aside, Dave, I 100% agree that the Lake House is great viewing. For if you are sick or generally feeling crappy, it's like drinking maple syrup when you want a little something sweet. But I love it for that. It is thanks to this movie that my other sister likes to make fun of me for liking Jane Austen's Persuasion the best out of the out of her books. She will quote The Lake House at me and everything to this day.
The Persuasion movie was my favorite of the Jane Austen adaptations until Love and Friendship.
Yeah. Oh, wait, this is LKTV letter. Sorry.
I changed the headers so you would know the difference.
You didn't do it on this one.
Well, then you've been sitting on that one for a long time. I've been doing it for at least a month.
Pause again, I'm sorry.
God.
Daniel from the Arclight.
Oh, Daniel!
Hi, Alfonso.
Oof.
And Dave.
Ouch.
And he does it twice, so you know it wasn't a mistake.
Thanks, DeFaniel.
Alonso. Alonso.
No F, no Z.
No F, no Z.
No silent Q.
Right. Alonso. Okay, anyway. Hi, Alfonso and Dave. I'm Daniel from the Arclight. Thank you for the mention on the last podcast. Alfonso never appeared to be a jerk.
Well, good.
And I would like to thank his friend and company for coming back out before the screening to relay Alfonso's second thought of acting rude. Dave, my favorite film, and the one on my badge, is Raging Bull. And now I'm going to know who you are when I come.
Daniel Raging Bull.
Daniel Raging Bull. If when I see you and you got your big Raging Bull, and I'll be like, oh, you're Daniel Raging Bull.
What if that became like, you know, everybody had their, instead of their Native American names, they had their Arclight badge names?
Yeah.
I'd be Alonzo Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory.
Here's his list. We're gonna knife his list.
Okay.
Top 10 of 2015.
Okay.
What Happened, Miss Simone?
We still haven't seen it, but we hear it's great.
Diary of a Teenage Girl.
Yep.
Victoria.
What? Did you see that?
The one take?
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Not yet.
Heard it's good.
The Hateful Eight.
Okay.
Creed.
Yeah.
Sicario.
Yeah.
The Revenant. I was into it. I like The Revenant. Clouds of Sils Maria.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs. I like Steve Jobs, too.
I'm going to say...
I give it to him.
I'm going
to
say 95% knife just for accumulated on both Revenant and Steve Jobs. But that's still... that's a solid A.
Fine. Anyway, thank you, Daniel. Next email from Daniel. Sorry, that was only 9 films. My number 3 is Spotlight.
Oh, well, great.
You're still 95%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And every time I take out one email, another one makes me scroll all the way up to the top again. And I'm very sorry about that. Hello, and an LK list from Gordon.
Hello, Gordon.
Hi, Alonzo and Dave. I'm Gordon, a newly graduated film student from Scotland.
Oh, congratulations.
And I am one of the many to respond to your call to action for any listeners who have not yet gotten in touch to do so. I just found the podcast through Dave's much-heralded appearance on What the Flick, reviewing the rather formulaic YA flick The Fifth Wave, and Linoleum Knife has quickly become one of my favorite podcasts of the cinema. Dave's droll sense of humor and tales of cooking are personal highlights. And don't worry, Alonzo, I love you too. So he kind of likes you.
Thanks for the pity pat on the head.
But super into me. And that's... You're right, Gordon.
You're still 49% of this show.
I wonder how Scotland Gordon is. Like, are you so Scotland that I would need subtitles to be floating under you to have a quiet conversation with you? Like, I just saw Terrence Davis's Sunset Song a few weeks ago, and it's in English, but it's subtitled for American audiences.
It's in Scottish.
Is it subtitled for UK audiences as well? Like, if you live in another part of England or Scotland or Ireland or Wales, do you still need subtitles for a film set in Scotland?
Are you expected to be able to understand that?
Yeah. I hereby submit my list of my favorite films since 2010.
Okay.
In no particular order. Weekend.
Yeah.
Carol.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Skin.
Yes.
Mistress America.
Mm-hmm.
Tangerine.
Okay.
Song of the Sea, which I haven't seen yet.
I've not seen either. Animated?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Boyhood.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Wheatley's Sightseers. I haven't seen that either.
Didn't see it. I can't remember the name of the one Ben Wheatley movie that I saw, because I don't think it was Kill List. I didn't like it. And then when I saw High Rise, I didn't like that much either. But whatever, we'll give you this one.
The Great Beauty.
Yeah.
And The Master, which is an amazing
You are 100% film. Knife.
He says, I'm aiming for 70 to 80%, but in all honesty, would be happy with 60%.
Whoa.
I like how he's sort of already negotiating his grade.
Dare to dream, man.
Gordon, you're 100% knife. Thank you. This one, subject line, am I a bad friend? Oh, it's from Guillermo. Pilar, it's from your brother.
Who?
Would you like to read?
I'll read it.
Would you like to read it?
Oh my God, this is long.
Yeah, it is.
Chill. Okay, dear West Coast familia, first and foremost, I love the show, and LKTV has been the bright light that I look forward to every week in the midst of daily grind being an intern in the U.S. Senate. This must be old. And before
it's
you
It's from
ask,
May.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because now he's at home doing
Into
nothing.
The mic, please,
I'm
miss.
Just kidding.
Wait, does he not have a job yet? A summer job?
He's working on it. I know that. Okay.
Dude, you get that job. You go get a job.
It's already June.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah, right. Senate requires a tremendous amount of patience and readiness, considering we work for free 5 days a week from 8:30 to 6. So when the day is so when the day is over, I like to unwind, and for the most part, that involves catching up with the infinitesimally long list of films I have acquired based on familiar recommendations and your show. Well, it wasn't cool for me to like film, but suddenly if you guys like film, he'll watch. I love it.
Okay, you can editorialize.
I'm super into the editorializing.
Okay.
Yeah. Accrued, I believe, is the word you
accrued,
want.
Accrued, yes.
Love you, Guillermo. All right. I remember a few months back on the show, you guys talked about Gaspar Noé's 2015 film, Love, and I found the concept of the film interesting and kept my eyes peeled for it whenever I could find it. Last weekend, I found it online and decided to subject my roommates to the film cold. To provide a little background, these guys are the sort of typical American film audience who like basic blockbusters and movies that blow up.
Well, this movie blows up in very specific ways.
Two of the roommates in question are avid supporters of Donald J. Trump, insert vomit sounds and swear words.
Did you choose these roommates?
I don't think so. All right, who love heist and war movies, and the other is a guy who refuses to watch a movie made prior to his birth for reasons which escape all but logic with stand-up individual. There are good movies out there. Okay, sorry for veering off track. Now back to film. When the movie started, I wasn't entirely sure what was coming next. I just knew I was interested, and I was curious to see what their reactions were. As the movie started, I heard an audible dropping of jaws around the room and felt three pairs of eyes pointed directly at my head. I turned around and said, give the movie half an hour of your time and just appreciate what it is. Once the half hour is over, the guys stopped and let loose a litany of WTFs and assorted other not safe for work phrases that are not for the faint of heart, leaving them desperate for an escape from what they felt was an unconscionable blah blah.
What they felt was unconscionable.
Yes. Thank you. So they went out to a bar and left me alone to continue watching the magnificence of Gaspar Noé in a dark room with a continual barrage of rain falling, acting as a background noise. Very dramatic. Since then, my roommates have made a point to ignore almost all of my movie recommendations, which I find funny because subjecting them to a little culture blew their minds. Does this make me a bad friend for enjoying their shock and horror a little, to a little culturing, or no? Love you guys, Guillermo.
Right. No, you are a valuable friend for attempting to open their eyes to good stuff. I don't know that I would have started with Gaspar Noé's Love.
Yeah, if I were going to start with a Gaspar Noé film for a bunch of basic bros, it would be Enter the Void.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'd like the EDM, if nothing else.
Yeah. Look, not all of my friends share my taste in film. My husband doesn't always share my taste in film. So,
nor does mine.
So that's something to consider. At the same time, what kind of uptight prudes are these guys? Like, were they upset that the film had real sex in it? Because there's a history of that happening in, you know, contemporary cinema. And it's not a new concept. There's a list that you could show them of films. Generally European
Academy Award winner Mark Rylance.
Academy Award winner Mark Rylance, yeah, for what was the movie last year he was in that he got the Oscar for?
In Bridge of Spies.
Bridge of Spies.
It's the movie he's in with Kerry Fox.
He was in a film with Kerry Fox called Intimacy.
Intimacy.
And they have real sex in the movie. And that's part of the film. So, your friends, you know, you can't change them.
No.
So,
but you might.
But it is fun to freak people out. So I applaud you.
You might work on like better starters. If you're gonna,
maybe
You know, if you can say there's a way to segue people into slightly more challenging cinema without throwing them in the deep end.
What's up though with young people who are like so uptight about that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well,
what is that about?
Because they've grown up on internet pornography, so they've completely divorced the idea of narrative and sex, probably.
I guess.
They never had to sit through the arrival of the pizza guy.
And that builds character?
Well, I'm just, it's a different way of experiencing the medium is all I'm saying.
The medium?
Sorry. Ho, get out.
Thank you for your reading skills. This is from Adam. I was listening to your podcast today, and I think it would be absolutely fantastic if you guys did the Avengers as a Linoleum Knife presents more Linoleum Knife.
Haha.
Alonzo has such a great handle on comic book lore, and I would love to hear Dave pontificate about the superhero film as a post 9/11 phenomenon, and vice versa. You both are so well informed.
Well, blush.
We've got you fooled. That I don't want to pigeonhole you. I love the podcast. I love LKTV. I am sorely, sorely tempted to raise myself up to the $7 level because your next few LK presents more LK sound like must-listen events. You know which one? You know which Linoleum Knife presents more Linoleum Knife is a must-listen? 2 days, one night.
People
who subscribe at the what level? $12 and up level?
Yes.
You have automatically been given the Linoleum Knife presents more Linoleum Knife episode.
Past and future.
For 2 days, one night. The rest of you
can buy it on its own.
Can buy it a la carte for $1.99 to linoleumpodcast@gmail.com.
@gmail.com.
That's our PayPal.
Let us know where to send it, and let us know if it's 2 days, one night you want, or any of the other 11 ones that we've recorded.
So far, three of you.
Three. Somebody else, I had an order this past week. It was very exciting.
God. It's just so funny. Like,
yeah, you want to get all fancy with your French movies. I'm see, they are Belgian movies. French language movies. Yeah. And no one cares.
They care.
Three people cares, and some of our subscribers.
Subscriber Robbie.
He's a type.
Robbie messaged me personally and said, this is the best one you guys have done.
Well, thank you, Robbie. That's very sweet.
Yeah. And he's right. That's all the letters for right now.
All right.
I got to make dinner.
Real quick, I want to thank some folks. We've had a couple of new reviews on our iTunes page. So thank you, Dorn Biker and Tony Calaton, for saying nice things about the show. And I also wanted to mention we've had some really great tweets of late from listeners talking about stuff. Mr. M.L. Guell quoted me saying, Satan is a real bee. I don't remember when I said that. Maybe about that Last Days in the Desert movie. But Andrew Buck is going to send us a top 10 list, but wants, in addition to being knifed, wants some suggestions for other movies to see based on his favorites.
Yeah.
Of course, as always, SJH Canada has things to say. And Steven Bergarello and Matthew Flores and Channing Tatum. So thank you all for your...
Thank you, Channing Tatum.
Thank you for your tweets. We appreciate them. And for everybody else who has been talking about the show, at Linoleum Cast, that is our Twitter and Instagram handles. You can follow us there for both those things. You can like our Facebook page, and you can stream the show on Stitcher Radio or thelounge.com or via Google Play, Google Music, which somebody mentioned apparently for T-Mobile or certain people, it doesn't eat into your data time, so that's a good thing. Of course, I want to thank everybody, all of our friends on the internet. First of all, of course, thank you, Blue, for our wonderful theme music.
Yeah.
Bluetopia.com, BLEUTOPIA. Go check out ChristyLemire.com and the Rotten Tomatoes podcast with Gray and Matt, and the B-Movies podcast, and Cancel Too Soon with Bibbs and Whitney, and the Schmoes Know, Dennis Anyone with Dennis Hensley, the Joel Ryan Thing, the Sewers of Paris, the Bret Easton Ellis podcast, Fat Guys of the Movies, the Criterion Cast, Film Spotting SVU, the Game Night Guys, and Secretly Timid, and golly, I guess that's it. Join our club, patreon.com/linoleumknife. We really appreciate all of the support we've been getting from so many of you, and you know, you can do it real cheap and it helps us and you get more stuff, so
it mostly helps you.
Well, we all
you
come
the
out,
listener
we all come mostly, out ahead.
It mostly helps you because we're
I hope to have
because we're really great.
I hope to have a full voice next week. So
I hope so too.
Until then,
goodbye.